There's been some, a kind of a buzz as people have been talking around the coffee pot and the water cooler about the debate last night. Some people feel like Ross Perot didn't treat you with respect. He felt when we talked to him in the last half hour that it was more of a session of personal attacks than it was a debate on NAFTA. Give us first, before we talk about some of the hardcore stuff, your impressions about that.
Oh, I wasn't offended, and I knew going into the debate that it would be rough and tumble. That was all right with me. No, I was not offended. I heard some other people say, oh, well, you know, that tone that he took was wrong. I didn't take it that way. I knew going into it that it was a chance to have a rough and tumble exchange that in the process would make it possible for millions more people to get some of the facts on both sides of this. And what Bill Clinton and I have found is that the more people learn about NAFTA, the more people support it and understand that this is a terrific deal for our country that helps us change some of the unfairness we've experienced in trade in recent years, remove barriers to our products, sell more into our fastest growing market, and create more jobs in the process. So I welcomed that opportunity.
Oh, let's talk about some of the numbers for a second. One of the numbers that was wrestled with last night was the idea that half of the U.S. exports, stuff that we send down there, really are, in fact, components that end up going into products that just end up coming back to the United States. Right or wrong?
That's wrong. The last statistic that I've seen on that is that between 80 and 90% stay down there. I think the last year it was 83%, if I'm not mistaken, and on the way up. In earlier years ago, when the maquiladora projects on the border completely dominated the trade, the percentage was much higher. But that's changed dramatically in recent years.
Let us talk about the environment. Everybody knows you're an environmentalist. People know about the widespread abuse of environmental laws down in Mexico by not only Mexican plants, but by foreign companies who are down there doing business. How does NAFTA change that? How do you get the Mexicans to enforce their own environmental laws?
Well, because the side agreement that President Clinton negotiated with Mexico on the environment gives us, for the first time in history, the opportunity to use trade sanctions to enforce Mexico's handling of its own environmental laws. Now, this is a real breakthrough that will make it easier to get environmental protections in other treaties that are now being negotiated, like the so-called GATT treaty.
How likely is that to happen, though? I mean, in a real-world sense, I suppose if you went down there right now, you could find any number of plants that were abusing environmental laws. How likely would it be to impose sanctions? Honest.
Well, I think that if they did not enforce their laws, it would be quite likely. But the more likely outcome is the one we're already beginning to see, and that is under the pressure that comes from this new relationship between us and Mexico, when the spotlight is put on their environmental laws and this club is behind the door, the sanctions that can be invoked if they don't enforce their laws, in that situation, enforcement is increasing dramatically. And I think every analyst down there will tell you that there has been a significant improvement in their enforcement of environmental protections during the last two or three years. And we can continue that trend and accelerate it with NAFTA. If we want to lose our ability to influence what they do on the environment, the best way to do that is to defeat NAFTA. Then they'll just revert back, or they'll have every incentive to. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's move on to a political climate down there. I thought a point well taken from Ross Perot is that it's anything but ideal. Let us think about workers down in Mexico for just a second. What if you were a worker trying to start a union? What if you were a worker who said for a second, let's have a strike? This stuff just doesn't happen down there.
Well, again, the decisions on labor standards and labor protections in Mexico will be made by the Mexicans themselves and by their government. The real question is whether or not we will have an ability to influence what they do. The labor side agreement gives us a little more of an ability to influence their decisions. President Salinas committed to link their minimum wage to productivity. That's a first. And since a lot of their wages are measured as multiples of the minimum wage, that is, somebody will, they'll sign a contract that says so-and-so gets twice whatever the minimum wage is, when the minimum wage goes up, that has a ripple effect all through the Mexican economy. What we've seen with the increased trade flows already is a steady increase and a fairly dramatic increase in Mexican wages. And we can continue that trend and improve labor protections by going forward with NAFTA.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Do you think once this deal is done, if it in fact passes, the playing field will really be even? Let's talk about banks, for instance. Will U.S. banks be able to do business down there?
Absolutely.
On an equivalent level, that Mexican banks will be able to do business in the United States?
Yes. Now, a lot of provisions are phased out over time, over a 10-year period. But yes, one of the biggest advantages to us from NAFTA, Harry, is that services will be open to competition. 60% of Mexico's economy is in services, and that part of their economy has been completely walled off to us. We have an advantage in things like banking, financial services, engineering services, accounting, all of that. And so when it's opened up, we'll create jobs in those areas also.
One of the things that occurred to me last night as I was watching was a lot of this comes down to trust. And I think what Ross Perot was trying to say is a lot of people in America don't trust the government to do much right in the first place. Why should we trust you guys now?
Yeah, well, I understand that feeling. That's one of the reasons why Bill Clinton and I ran, to bring changes and to try to get a fair shake for working men and women. But you know, the natural temptation to just say, stop the world, I want to get off, let's just dig in and prevent any kind of change, that's really the worst way to get a better situation. You've got to be willing to move forward into the future in order to shake things up and bring about positive changes.
Disabuse us of this other notion, though, because people are pitching this as a kind of a populist battle. Here's big business. They're going to backdoor us again. They're going to cut this deal with Mexico. All these jobs are going to fly down there, and American worker is just going to get it again.
Well, the American workforce is the most productive workforce in the entire world. For many years, we have said, look, you give us a level playing field, you remove all the barriers to our products, all of the tariffs, and you let us have a fair shot to sell into the rest of the world, and we'll clean the clock of any other workforce in the world. I believe that. We're more productive than anybody else. Now, that's what this does for us. Mm-hmm. It eliminates all the barriers and lets us compete fairly. Now, the big question has been, well, how can you compete fairly with a country whose wages are lower? Well, the fact is the productivity of our workforce is much higher, 5 times higher than that of Mexico. And you look around the world, the trade problems we have now are the ones with countries that have higher wages.
Vice President Gorwey, thank you so much. Do appreciate it.
Thank you, Harry.